We're glad to see you at the Gospel Service tonight. Thank you for your presence with us. The hymn 219 is our opening hymn this evening. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, "Ye must be born again." So hymn 219, and we're going to ask you to stand as we sing the words together, please. Just pray together as we commit the meeting to the Lord. Pray for his guidance. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to ask from the outset of the service tonight that we'll know the leading of the Lord in this meeting. We thank you that you've assured us that you'll instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go, and that you'll guide us with thine eye. We want to pray that we would know the infilling of the Holy Ghost at the very commencement of this service. Lord, we've often read in your word of those who were filled with the Spirit. Remember that great exhortation, not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. We ask that the Holy Ghost will come down. We pray that he'll come and blow upon this meeting tonight. We remember that the Saviour said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst not hear the sound thereof." And Lord, we want to pray that the wind of God will come and blow upon this meeting, that he'll come and blow again even upon our land in all the fullness of his power, just at this time. We're glad, Father, that we're here in your house. We thank you for the gospel service. We want to ask, Father, that you'll deepen our love for souls. We pray you'll give us a greater vision for the souls of those who are without Christ. We remember our Saviour, how that he wept over the city of Jerusalem, for they knew not the day of their visitation. Oh God, help us not to be indifferent even to our own city as we look out upon it, even from the position of this church. What a view we have, Father, of the homes of this city round about us. We pray for a fresh vision tonight of the people, of the souls that are in darkness, in great spiritual need. We ask, Father, that that burden will come upon our hearts. We remember that your word says of the Apostle Paul, I have a great heaviness. O God, give to us that heaviness as we think of the lost condition of men and women. We want to pray, Father, that we'll never get used to the thought of men and women dying without Christ as their Saviour. Our prayer, Father, is that you would use us. We remember that your word says that we're to be vessels unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We want to pray, Father, that you'll use us greatly in your service. Use this church here in this city and in this district. Lord, we acknowledge and thank you for how you've used this church in the past. We have heard of days of great blessing in time past, Father, but our prayer is that you'll use us again. Our prayer is, Father, that you might come and revive us again. We want to ask, Father, that you'll use us personally and individually, even during this week. Lord, our prayer is that we would be useful in thy service. Remember, John Wesley's great desire and prayer was that he would not live to be useless. O God, save us from being of no use to thee in thy service while we're here, even upon this earth. We pray that you'll use us even in a greater way. We ask, Lord, open greater doors of opportunity to us as a church. Open greater doors of outreach for us to spread the gospel. We pray that you'll open greater doors to each one of us individually. We acknowledge, Father, that there's times that you give us those opportunities when we fail to see them. We do not have the sight or the discernment to see that you've given to us such an opportunity. Oh God, we pray for that spiritual wisdom and discernment day by day, and we pray that we'll seize every opportunity that you give to us. Remember, Father, that your word says we're not to despise the day of small things, and we're conscious, Father, even in many regards, we find ourselves in such days and such times when there's not the interest that there once was in the things of God in this land of ours. And we're conscious, Father, of the indifference there is spiritually across the land. We pray that you'll help us to continue in the work, even amidst the difficult days that we're found in. Your word says we're not to walk by sight, we're to walk by faith. And Lord, help us to keep our trust in thee. We know that you don't always let us see the things that you're doing, the way that you're working. We pray that you'll help us ever to keep our eyes upon the Saviour and to press on with the work. Lord, we acknowledge our own hearts. We acknowledge our feelings and our emotions at times that the devil would want to come and he would want to discourage us in our labours for Christ. But Lord, we ask that you'll encourage us. We pray that we'll rest upon the promise. Well, thank you for that great text. That's our motto text for this year, that we're to be careful about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto God. So, Father, save us, we ask, from undue worry. We ask that you'll enable us to pray about every circumstance of life, to bring it to the Lord in prayer. And, Lord, we ask thee to hear our cries and our prayers. We give thee thanks for your goodness to us, for the grace that we've known through this day. Bless our time together here this evening. Bless our coming together in your house tonight. May the hand of God be upon every part of this service. And Lord, we're mindful of those not able to be here this evening, especially those that are unwell. May they know the presence of the Lord, just to be very real. May the presence of the Lord be a comfort to their hearts in these days of weakness, in these days of ill health and infirmity. And Lord, we ask that you'll be pleased to put your hand upon each one so that soon they might be able to be back with us here in the Lord's house. We look forward to their presence and to their fellowship again. And Lord, we are mindful that even though there's not as much progress been made in the cause of the gospel in our land as once there was, that doesn't mean that you're not at work in other places, in other lands. We rejoice, Father, in the cause of the gospel all across the earth, how that the name of Christ has been preached to the very four corners of the world, that there's going to be in heaven men and women of every kindred, every tribe, every tongue and every people. And Lord, help us to have that world vision of the cause of the gospel. Bless your cause all across the earth at this time. We thank you for reports of what we hear of God at work, of blessing being known, of souls being saved, even of a greater hunger in other lands for the cause of God and for the preaching of your word than there is in our land. Lord, come and bring that hunger again, that ear to this land of ours once more. We're especially mindful of Ukraine and of Russia and of your people there. Lord, sustain them through these very trying days. Lord, we ask thee to bring confusion even to the Russian government, to the Russian army. We pray that very soon that this awful conflict will have be brought to an end, be brought to a conclusion. Remember, Father, all that are seeking to bring relief and support and aid to the people in great extremity at this time, and especially those that are giving help to your people. Your word says that we're to be, remember that great text, Father, that you've assured us that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we're praying, Lord, that those that are laboring even to bring the gospel in those lands at this time will find a great strengthening of their hands and great blessing to attend to their labors. So hear our prayers now, Father, and just abide with us in the service tonight. And we ask that the sense of your presence and the experience of your blessing will increase, that you'll even give us tonight waters to swim in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together, please, two portions of God's word tonight. We're reading, first of all, in Genesis 19. And then we're going to turn over to the New Testament scriptures. So it's the opening 16 verses of Genesis 19. This is the story of Lot and Sodom and of the angels that came to visit. Genesis 19, the first verse. Let's hear the Lord's word. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which come in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And then we're turning to the second book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, just a short section. Remember the importance of comparing one part of Scripture with another. One part of the Bible throws light upon another. And this is a New Testament commentary. Gives further light, further details on the story of Lot. 2 Peter 2, verse 6. It says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Notice the words carefully. They may be of help to you someday when you're speaking to someone on the subject of sodomy. It says very clearly, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So ending our reading just there. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing tonight to both of these passages from his own inspired and infallible word. We want to welcome you to our evening gospel service tonight. in the Saviour's great name. We're very thankful for your presence with us this Sabbath evening at the Gospel service. To all that are gathered, to any that are visiting with us this evening, we're especially glad of your presence and support in the Gospel service tonight. And to all that are watching online on the live stream, we want to welcome you to our service tonight as well. Remember, please, the meetings for this incoming week in the will of the Lord. Tomorrow night at 7:30, the next meeting of the church committee. Then on Tuesday night at 7:15, the two children's bright hours in the church hall here and the band hall down in Killalea. Remember, please, the midweek service for prayer and Bible study. The speaker this Wednesday night is Mr. Samuel Adams from Every Home Crusade. Our brother will give us an update. He's going to bring a report and also a presentation on the printing work, the distribution of gospel literature all around the world that Every Home Crusade is involved in. And there will be a missionary offering that will go towards the work of Every Home Crusade, or the Revival Movement Association, as it's also known. So please remember that meeting and plan to join with us. Tell others about it. Encourage them to be present as well. Keep in mind the radio broadcast on the Wednesday afternoons at 3 o'clock as well on Radio Star Country. Remember to tell others about that. Do make the broadcast as widely known as possible. Friday at 8, the Youth Fellowship. It's the Youth Council Regional Rally, the Spring Regional Rally. It's going to be held here in our own church in Armagh. The leader will be our Youth Council representative for this area, Sam Adur from the Auchnacloy Church, Joanna McCammon from Tandragee Singing, and the Lord willing, I will be the preacher. So just remind the young people of that. Make that known to the young people as well in your family circle, and encourage them to come along and be present. The service is next Sabbath day. That's the 20th of March, 10:40, the Sunday School and Bible classes, 11:30 and 6:30, the services, preceded by the half hour of prayer before the evening meeting, and I'll be the preacher at both of those services myself. Remember the two extra nights of prayer the following week. That's Monday the 21st and Tuesday the 22nd from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We ask if you can set those two nights aside and plan to be with us, and then we'll have our usual and regular midweek service on the Wednesday evening. Keep in mind that the Mission Board has made an appeal to help with the situation in the Ukraine, to help the churches and the refugees. They sent off an initial 20,000 during this past week. The total so far for our own church here has been £310.69. We want to thank all that have given to that. Remember, you can give directly to the Mission Board, send it down to the office, or use the donate button on their website. They're seeking to send that, or to partner with Faith in Action and the Slavic Gospel Association, and also the churches that we fellowship with in Romania that are taking in refugees. There is a youth rally tonight in the Auchnacloy Church. That's at 8:45. Dr. Paul Ferguson will be testifying, and the singers are the Ferguson family. And the Bethany Church are having their praise service for the Portadown Independent Christian School. That's Friday night week, the 25th. That'll be held in the Bethany Church at 8 o'clock. There'll be some light refreshments served afterwards, and an offering will be taken for the work of the Christian school. Remember the Consider Christ outreach recommencing Saturday week, the 26th, concentrating this year on County Cavan. They're seeking to get that outreach up and going again now as we're coming out of the pandemic. They'd like as many people to join them. Remember that they had a very encouraging, very positive number supporting that outreach in time past. So the Reverend Jonathan Crane is the one to speak to if you'd like to be a part of that team on the 26th of the month. Remember to look at the literature. The latest copy of the Vision magazine, that's for the month of March. And remember the two tracts that we mentioned this morning. The latest tract that we've published, What the Quran Says About Jesus Christ. That's going to be used by our outreach team, but it's made available to the congregation as well. We're thinking of Muslim folk in our community and in our city, but it's a tract that's suitable for everyone or to use in outreach and evangelism to everyone. And remember the tract as well, How Did Patrick Become a Saint, which is especially relevant in this incoming week. If there's some people that you know that would benefit from receiving that tract or reading the message that's contained within, please take copies of both of those and use them freely, use them as widely as you can. We're glad to report that our brother Jim Cross got home from the hospital again this afternoon. They did carry out some tests and so forth. He's home with some medication and he's going to require some further tests in coming days. So we're thankful for that. Continue to remember Jim. Mrs. Watson would value your prayers just at this time. And remember young Rodney McMurray, that the Lord will guide the doctors with regard to the treatment just that Rodney will receive at this time. And remember Ken and Amy too, that the Lord will sustain them through these very difficult days with that very heavy burden upon their hearts. We're going to sing another hymn together, please. It's the hymn, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. The hymn 335, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Just bow together. before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the cross. God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, even as we've just sung together, we would want to take these words as they are and as cry of our hearts. Jesus, keep me near the cross. We ask that every day, Father, we will live in the shadow of Calvary, that you'll help us ever to keep our eyes upon the Savior, and especially, Father, to be mindful of the greatness of his love and all that he suffered for us. We pray that the love of Christ will constrain us in our efforts, in our service for the Master, and we pray that the greatness of his love might constrain us to greater efforts in the spread of the gospel and in the winning of souls. Lord, sanctify the remainder of this meeting, set it apart. We ask that the Holy Ghost will descend. Do fill us, Father, with thy Spirit. May we know the power of God resting very clearly upon the preaching tonight. We pray that you'll speak through the message. We pray that you'll challenge those that have been careless about their walk with God. Challenge them, Father, to return to the Lord. And those that are not saved, oh God, we ask that you'll trouble them tonight about their soul, especially in the light of a lost eternity. Hear these our cries. We offer our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Genesis 19. The book of Genesis, the 19th chapter. Let me read to you the words of that first verse again. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even." That's the evening time. "And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Remember, that's where the elders, the rulers of the cities in those times sat. So it gives you an indication of his position in the city. "And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground." We're going to think tonight of an example of a Christian in the end time. Can I stress to you that the Bible is not just a book of history? When we think of the Bible as a book of history, that means that it records for us past events. And that's what we have been reading about here, especially in Genesis 19. The Lord has given us an inspired record, an inspired account of a very significant event that took place in the land of Israel, especially in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom especially being the dwelling place of Lot. The Bible is a book of history, but it's not just a book of history. It's also a book of prophecy. So it doesn't just record past events. The Bible gives us actual details of future events that are yet to come. One of the things the Bible teaches us or tells us is that before the coming again of the Savior, before the Lord's return, there will be vile and evil days that will come upon the earth. Times that were the same as the times that Lot lived in, that Lot experienced there in the city of Sodom. If you take the time a little later to open the New Testament at Luke 17, the message of the Savior in Luke 17, where he foretells the days that would come upon the earth, the circumstances that would be on the earth, the circumstances that would characterize those days just before he comes again. And there's no doubt, men and women, that those days, the days of Sodom, the days of Lot, are upon the earth in the times in which we live. But let me stress that not only does the Bible tell us what events will be like at the end of the age, and that's important and significant, it also tells us what Christians will be like as well. Because this man Lot, who is before us this evening, he set forth in the Bible in a significant way. He set forth as an example of what many Christians will be like at the time when the Saviour returns to this earth. We all know that Lot was a weak Christian. We all know that he was not the man, he was not the Christian that he should have been. And sometimes when we think of Lot, we can look down upon him. We can all be full of self-righteousness and say, I might be bad, but I'm not like him. I'm not as bad as that. I'm not as bad as Lot was. But you know, if we're honest, sometimes we're maybe a lot more like Lot than we care to recognize or we care to believe. I want you to think with me tonight of his life. I want us to consider some of the features of Lot's life. We could put it like this, a look at Lot's life. That's what we want to do for a few minutes. Certain aspects of his life we want to consider. First of all, let me say something about his spiritual life. What was Lot like spiritually? That's very important, especially for the Christian. Remember, we were emphasizing that in the message this morning when we considered the Lord's servant Gaius, his spiritual health, the health of his soul. So what was Lot like spiritually? What sort of spiritual life did he have? Well, for one thing, he was a born-again Christian. Lot was a child of God. He had been born again of the Spirit. Can I take a moment just to stress that you need to be as well? You need to be born again, being no doubt of that. The message of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. This is something, men and women, that is absolutely essential. Let me mention to you, there was an American newspaper that reported a very unusual story. It was a story of a baby in Texas, and they described the baby as being born again, or born twice. What happened was this. At 6 months of age, that little baby was taken from its mother's womb in order to have some surgery, an operation performed upon it to remove a tumor. And after the surgery, the little one was replaced in its mother's womb again and then naturally born at full term. So they described the baby as being born again. It's a very interesting, very unusual story. But remember, the Bible means, when it talks about being born again, it means a person that has spiritual life, a person that has the witness of the Spirit within them. And Lot was such a person. Lot was born again. In those words that are recorded in 2 Peter, it speaks of just Lot. So Lot was a just man. He had been justified before God. He had been justified freely by God's grace. But let me say, only for those words of Peter's, you would never have thought, you never would have known that Lot was a saved man. As you read the account of his life in the book of Genesis, there's no indication, not the slightest indication, that he was a Christian. So what a warning there is for us all there, brethren and sisters. John Newton, the hymn writer, the preacher, he said that when he got to heaven, there would be three surprises. He said that there would be those there that he didn't expect to see. There would be some not there that he did expect to see. But he said the greatest surprise of all would be that he was there himself. And you know the reality? There are many people that knew Lot way back then. Knew Lot, lived with Lot, perhaps worked with him, even in that city of Sodom. And they will be surprised that Lot is in heaven, because there's no evidence in his life, no evidence of salvation. And I want you to think of that tonight. Will that be true of you? Think of how sad and solemn it is, or would be. Many that knew you, many that lived beside you, many that worked with you on a regular basis, and they never once thought that you knew the Lord, because there was no evidence. There was no fruit of God's grace, a work of grace, a work of salvation that had been done in your life. So Lot was a born-again Christian. But the sad thing is, he was a backslidden Christian. He was cold of heart. He was a man that was out of fellowship with the Lord. The sad reality, as you read the details that God has given to us in his word about this man is, you never find Lot building an altar. Remember, you read that about Abraham, the friend of God. You never read of Lot building an altar. You never read of Lot praying, engaged in prayer of any kind. You never read of Lot offering a sacrifice. You never read about Lot engaged in worship before the Lord. There's no references in the inspired biography in the Word of God of this man. No references to the leading of the Lord in his life. Lot was a man that was backslidden. I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight, one listening to the message, and you're in exactly the same condition? A Christian that's not walking with God, a believer that's following the Lord afar off. Here's what the Lord would say to you tonight if there is such a Christian in this meeting. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. What an encouragement that is. You need to come back to the Lord. The Lord's willing to receive you. The Lord's willing to put his hand upon you. He's willing to restore the fellowship. You don't need to be saved again. You just need to have your fellowship restored. You think of David, that great prayer that he prayed in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice carefully the words. He didn't pray, Lord, restore to me my salvation. Because despite all that he had done, the wicked sins that he'd been engaged in, he hadn't lost his salvation. What David had lost was the joy that he had when he first met the Lord, when he first was converted, when he first came to Christ. And he prayed, asking the Lord to give that joy back to him again. So backslider, we want to urge you tonight to follow that example and to pray that prayer yourself. Can I remind you, men and women, you don't have to be as far away from the Lord as Lot was to be a backslider, to be backslidden. Remember that you can come to the meetings every week. You could even come to the prayer meeting every week and be a backslider. The Word of God, the book of the Proverbs, speaks about the backslider in heart. And sometimes that's more serious because such a person doesn't realize their backslidden condition, the heart that is not right with God. You think of the church at Ephesus, they were laboring. This is what is said of them in the book of the Revelation. You know, the letters to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. The church at Ephesus was laboring. They were commended of the Lord for their work. But the Lord had the lament that they had left their first love. And maybe that's true of you. They needed to repent because they were in a backslidden condition, even as a congregation. And the same could be true of you. And if it is, then you need to repent as well. So that's Lot's spiritual life. Think, men and women, of his home life. Here's a very telling part of any person's life. How do you live at home? What is your conduct like before your family? You may be able to put on a good face when you're in public. You may be able to look the part as a Christian when you're at church. You can bluff others about your condition, but you can't do that to your family. They see you as you really are. So ask yourself this evening in the Lord's house, how do you live at home? What sort of Christian are you before your family? And there are two things about Lot's home life I want to emphasize to you. One is really bad, and the other is really good. For one thing, as we think of his home life, consider his hospitality. You have it there in verse 2. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. So Lot was a man that was given to hospitality. He was always on the lookout for strangers, for travelers, those that he could refresh, those that he could give food an accommodation to. And you know, men and women, we ought to be the same. There is, as we've mentioned about his backslidden condition, there's very little in Lot's life that we can emulate. But here is one thing. We can follow the example of hospitality that he sets. And remember that the New Testament actually draws attention to Lot's hospitality. It teaches us to follow Lot's example, the example that he sets us here in Genesis 19, verse 2. Do you remember those very instructive words in the book of Hebrews? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Notice the word right at the end there, unawares. He didn't realize who he was actually entertaining. That's a reference to Lot. That's a reference to how he treated these two visitors that came to Sodom that evening. It's also a reference to his uncle Abraham and to what Abraham did in the previous chapter, but it includes Lot as well and how he entertained angels unawares. Isn't it interesting? Lot entertained angels. Not many have that experience, but the Bible teaches that it does happen. He didn't know they were angels. Why did he not know that they were angels? Well, because they didn't appear as shining beings with wings. They came to Sodom in the form of men. Can I point out to you, you know that the study of angels is very interesting, a very enlightening subject in the Word of God. But I want to point out it's possible that not all angels have wings. Just certain ranks of angels have wings. For example, the seraphim and the cherubims. The seraphim mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6, they had six wings. We generally think of creatures that fly as having two. Well, the seraphims had six. With twain or with two, they covered their feet. With two, they covered their face. And with two sets of wings, they flew. Can I ask you to note the warning of the New Testament? It says, be careful. Be careful to follow Lot's example. Be careful to be kind and hospitable to strangers. Let me highlight that, to strangers. Because maybe one day you will find yourself in exactly the same situation. One day God might send an angel to your house, send an angel to your home for tea, and you may not be aware that it is an angel. That's the warning of the Word of God. Be careful. Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. That's a word of instruction to us, brethren and sister. There might be an angel sitting across the table from you, drinking your tea, eating your buns, and you wouldn't even know. That's what Paul's saying there in the book of Hebrews. We need to be careful to entertain strangers unawares. I mentioned to you in the message this morning about the birth of the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph, what the Lord Jesus was wrapped in after his birth. Well, you just think of Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. They were tired. They'd had a long journey of some 80 miles. Joseph probably walked those 80 miles, Mary on a donkey. She was a woman that was near to giving birth. But isn't it true to say they were treated shamefully? No room in the inn, made to stay in a stable. So let us learn from that, brethren and sisters. Be careful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Can I say, some would say that there will be no reward for Lot on the great judgment day. I'm not so sure about that, even though he lived most of his life in a backslidden condition. Do you remember what the Savior said in the New Testament, the great promise? May it be an encouragement to your heart tonight. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's a great promise of a reward, of blessing, of future reward for those that are kind and hospitable to others. It says that if you give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple. Well, I believe Lot will have a reward all right, a reward for hospitality. Can I ask you, as you think of that, do you not consider that entertaining angels might be worth a little more reward than usual or than normal? But anyway, I want to say, brethren and sisters, be encouraged tonight. Here's a way for you to serve the Lord, the great ministry of hospitality. Here's a work that is noticed, recorded, and clearly, especially from that promise we've just mentioned, greatly rewarded by the Lord in a coming day. So, as we think of Lot's home life as hospitality, think about his influence. What sort of influence did Lot have in his home and among his family? The answer? Very little, if any. Look at verse 14 of Genesis 19. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." And notice these words at the end of the verse, "But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." I think that's one of the saddest statements in the Bible. Lot's family had no respect for him. He had no influence for God among them. When he spoke about God, when he came to warn his family, his relatives, his sons-in-law, especially about judgment, they didn't take him seriously. They thought to themselves, "Lot, serious about God? Lot, serious about spiritual things?" What a laugh. What a joke that is. The reality is, the salt had lost its savor. Can I ask, is it the same for you? No influence? No influence on your family, your friends? They don't listen when you witness to them. They don't come when you invite them to the meetings. You ask yourself, why? Could it be that maybe you're a little more like Lot than you realize? You don't live before them as you should. You talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. You know, it's also true of Lot. He had no influence in public life either. Remember, I highlighted in the reading, or when we were quoting the text, that he sat on the gate. That's where the rulers of the city gathered. Lot was a politician. He was one of the rulers of the city. But what he said and what he did had little influence. What he said and what he did little to oppose the gross sin of that city. No influence for God in public life. There's one other area of his life. We've thought of his spiritual life, and we've thought about his home life. Think about his inner life. What was Lot's thoughts and feelings as he lived in Sodom? Remember that the Word of God reveals us as we really are, reveals us through and through. The Word of God reveals our hearts. And it's true, the same is true for Lot. We find the answer to that question in the New Testament Scriptures. I stress again the importance of reading all the Bible. One part throws light on another. Peter tells us of Lot, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Can I ask you, is that true of you? When you look around you in the society in which we live, are you vexed at the filthy behavior of the wicked people, the sodomites that's all around us? The word vexed is used again twice in those few verses. It vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So there's a little glimpse God's word gives us of Lot's inner life. Here's the state, men and women, of Lot's heart. We learned, for one thing, he had no hardness of heart. Lot didn't suffer from a hard heart. Despite the wickedness of Sodom, the gross wickedness of that city, despite the length of time that he had lived there, he hadn't become hardened to their sins. Their evil deeds still graved him deeply. And that's something, again, in this life that is commendable, men and women. Can I ask you tonight, is it not true that sometimes we are hardened to the society in which we live? We do get used to sin. We can become accustomed to the evil days in which we're found, the evil deeds that are all around us. We hear the Lord's name taken in vain, and we don't bat an eyelid. We can hear of a murder taking place, blood being shed, without being shocked. We can be confronted with the grossest of immorality, without shame, without blushing. We can't get used to sin. We can become, as Paul said in the book of Hebrews, hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Our conscience can become numb. And what we need to pray, brethren and sisters, is for a tender conscience. We need to pray that we never become comfortable with sin, the comfortable of the sin of the society in which we live. So this man had no hardness of heart. But by way of contrast to that, he had no peace of heart. Lot wasn't a happy man. Do you remember the meaning of the name Gaius in the study this morning? I am happy. What a name that is. What a testimony that was. But by way of contrast, Lot wasn't happy. He had no peace. He had no contentment. That word vexed, I highlighted it's used twice in those verses in 2 Peter. It's very interesting. It's the same word that's used of hell. It's translated tormented in Revelation chapter 20. Those words tormented day and night. It's exactly the same word that Peter uses of Lot. So living in Sodom was a torment for Lot. Isn't that interesting? You think of his inner life, how he felt. Living in Sodom was a hell on earth for God's child, Lot. He was constantly troubled. Troubled about where he lived. Troubled about the people all around him. Troubled about their lifestyle, the way that they lived. All of those things robbed him of his peace. But the strange thing is that despite his lack of peace, he stayed in that wicked place. He stayed in Sodom. So here's a man, and we'd have to sum it up like this. He sinned against his own soul. And even when his conscience continually told him that he wasn't in the will of God, he stayed in that place. He stayed where he was. What a challenge that is to us all, brethren and sisters. Is that true of somebody in the meeting tonight? There's no peace in your heart. There's no peace in your life. You're not at peace about where you are in the Christian life. You're maybe not at peace about a certain part of your life. You know that you're not in the will of God. If it is, I want to urge you, do something about it. Do something about it. Don't let it continue. Don't be like Lot. Either do the will of God, do what the Lord wants, or let the Lord back into your life again. You think of those words, Revelation 3 and 20, one of the great memory verses we teach the children. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And remember, men and women, that those words are written about the church. The Savior standing outside the church, knocking on the door of the church, wanting to be allowed back in to the life of the church again. And I wonder, is that true? Even if your heart and life tonight. That's what you need to do. You need to let him in. Because remember, you'll not have any quietness of conscience. You'll not have any rest in your soul until you let the Lord back onto the throne of your heart. And until you let the Lord have his way in your heart and in your life. So here's Lot, men and women. He's an example. An example, a very clear example in the Word of God of what many believers will be like in that period just before the return again of our Lord Jesus Christ. His spiritual life, his home life, his inner life. There's a challenge from all of these areas to us this evening. And I say this to you, the warning of the story is this. One of the reasons why God wrote the story of Lot into the Bible for us is it sounds a clear warning. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, said, "These things are written for our learning." That's especially referring to the Old Testament scriptures. All that's in the Old Testament scriptures are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And the warning, what are we to learn from the story of Lot is, don't be like him. Don't be like Lot. Don't be the sort of Christian that he was. May God help us all to be faithful. To be faithful, however wicked and dark and vile the days may be. And remember that the story of Enoch, by way of contrast, teaches us that you can walk with God even in the most ungodly of days. So we pray that God will give us help. Make that your prayer. To live faithfully for the Lord, whatever the days, whatever the times, right until the journey's end. Be thou faithful unto death, and the Lord promises to give you the crown of life. We're going to sing just two verses of a hymn as we finish. It's the hymn 152. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes to gather his loved ones home. We'll just sing the first two verses. No dark valley, and there'll be no more sorrow when Jesus comes. The first two verses in the chorus, and we'll stand to sing. Father, we praise thee for the gathering tonight. Thank you for being amongst us. We've known your presence. And we thank you for the word of God, for all that you've shown to us. We thank you for that prospect that the Savior is coming again. We thank you for the great promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself. We want to pray, Father, that you'll help us to live for thee every day. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to let our light shine before men in the dark days in which we live. We remember John warned that we would not be ashamed before him at his coming. So, Lord, help us to live in such a way that the smile of heaven, the blessing and benediction of God will be upon all that we do and all that we say. Hear our cries and speak unto our hearts, even as we ponder and meditate upon these things. The scriptures tell us of Mary, she pondered all these things in her heart. And Lord, as we go from the meeting tonight, help us to do the same. And we pray that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.